Tell you, Ricky, you could either grab a plate or come up. She was looking awfully lonesome, so. Father's Day is always about fathers. And there's nothing wrong with that, but some young men have not become fathers yet, and others that just, the Lord has not blessed them in that way. I'd like us to look at a passage of Scripture this morning that deals with a particular father that we should all know, our Heavenly Father. Turn, if you will, to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. And we're going to begin at verse 23, and we're going to read all the way through verse 35. Matthew 18, 23 through 35. Therefore, is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought to him which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, the Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of the servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told their lord all that was done. Then his lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him unto the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due him. So likewise thy heavenly Father shall do unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. It's June 19th, and people are calling their fathers from all over the country. Fathers are unique in the history of mankind. I've been told that fathers have something to do with making babies. The example that Jesus gave to his disciples is here in this story that we just read about forgiving. It deals with a father, our Heavenly Father. On Mother's Day, we addressed the fact that women committed the first sin and then enticed the man to follow in that sin. And that's true. God has limited the activity of women in the operation of the local church because of that first sin. Now, the father, on the other hand, is responsible for imparting the sin nature to his offspring. Ladies, that doesn't let you off the hook, but it's a man's fault. Okay? That is just a fact of biology. The father, if the father's an alcoholic, the child very likely will have a propensity toward alcoholism. I saw that in my own family. In other words, it's all dad's fault. I've seen a character trait passed down in families by the father. And in the illustration given by Jesus, there was a lesson that we needed to put into practice as soon as we become aware of it. It would certainly change a lot of family and social relationships. In this story that Jesus shared with his disciples, we have primarily three people involved. First, there was the king, who was owed money. Then there was a servant who owed quite a bit of money to the king. And lastly, there was the servant that owed just a little bit of money. 100 pence is not a lot of money. It's a very small amount compared to 10,000 talents. And yes, God was involved also. He's always involved. No matter what we do, he is involved with what we are doing. In this case, he was working in the king's life. And many times he works in the lives of people who are not even Christians. You see, he has that ability. He can influence our hearts through the power of his Holy Spirit. You might ask, how I know that? Well, there are things that God controls, and we subliminally know it. Okay. Let's look at our story. The king wanted his money. The servant didn't have the money that was owed the king. And that turned out to be a problem for the servant. Matthew 18, 24 through 25. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. That's the way they used to do it. They still do it. I hope that you notice here what happens to the man of the house. Many times, what happens to the man of the house affects the rest of the family. Many times. And the wife and the children become innocent bystanders that wind up paying a price because dad was not what he was supposed to be. I don't know whether or not this man was concerned for his family or not, or if he was just concerned for himself. And I have a suspicion that I have a reason to believe that he was more interested for himself rather than even his family when he pled with the king to forgive him. I'll explain in a few minutes why I came to that conclusion. So what happened next is interesting. Verses 26 and 27. The servant, therefore, fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion. Now, where does that come from? That comes from God. So he was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. I believe that God, our Heavenly Father, was influencing that king. The Bible tells us that God is love, and compassion is a form of love. And so I believe that God caused that king to have compassion on that servant. There have been times in each of our lives when we didn't have what we needed to pay a debt that we owed. And we have praised the Lord when that debt has been forgiven or answered. Can you think back to times in your life where God interceded? Yeah. If you know him, he's interceded at some point. That's why I believe that the Lord was influencing the king. Not for the part where we're supposed to be learning from this story, verses 28 through 30. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. That is just part of a talent. Remember, this first servant owed 10,000 talents. That was a whole bunch of money. And this second servant owed him 100 pence. And he said, pay me what thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Isn't that exactly what the first servant did? Exactly. Okay. How should he have responded? That's not the way he responded. Verse 30, and he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. Now, I have never been able to figure out, folks, how you pay a debt from prison. And yet, for hundreds of years, that has been the solution. If you couldn't pay a debt, you went to jail. How do you pay a debt from jail? At this point, there's no evidence of the Lord working in this first servant's heart. The first servant had been forgiven 10,000 times what was owed by the second servant. How grateful do you think he was for what he was forgiven? Have any of you ever noticed if you let a person out into traffic, that person usually lets the next person out. And then you've got two people letting other people out. Because normally you're grateful when somebody does that. I don't think that this first servant was grateful at all for the forgiveness. He was just grateful that he didn't have to go to jail. I think his heart was full of selfishness and hate. I really do. And there's a lot of hearts like that around here today. Not around here at this church, but within our society. He acted in an overbearing manner, and he had no compassion on his fellows. One thing that I do notice here is the lesson was given for an example of how we are supposed to act. Even the other servants had learned a lesson from this already because they reported him back to the king. That's scriptural, you know. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Let that person out into traffic. Yeah, that'd be a blessing. My wife and I used to have a little bit of a game we played. I would tell her that I was supposed to do one good thing a day. And if I let one person out into traffic, that was my good deed for the day. I didn't have to do any more. Some days I'd get ahead of myself. You know, I'd actually accumulate a couple of extra days. So that meant I could go a couple of days without being nice. You know, it's never too late for God to work out justice in the life of the individual. Many people don't realize that when God blesses them, God expects them to bless somebody else. If God blesses you, he's expecting you to bless someone else. And if you don't, as in this case, God being God, he can come back and he can unbless you. He can take it away. He can bring something much worse into your life. It's never too late for God to work out justice in the life of the individual. Look at what God arranges for us to be taught from this experience. Verses 31 through 34. So when this fellow servant saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told their Lord all that was done. Then the Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldst not thou also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due him. So did he reap what he sowed? Yes, he did. You know he did. It falls into the place of the father to teach his family about the appropriate way to act in various circumstances. You know, I said earlier, the father usually is the one who conveys the sin nature to the child. That's just the way God made us. And if the father does not exhibit the right way to act and to take care of things, the child will probably follow in his father's footsteps. Not always. Sometimes God pours his grace into that life and they don't follow the fathers, but I know of many cases where the child has followed the father's footsteps. In Matthew 5, 38 through 47, Jesus, teaching his disciples, said this, Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. Have you seen many people do that? No. They don't. And if any man sue thee at law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? I knew a family from Corbin, Kentucky. The father, whose first name was Vernon, taught his family, his daughter, his son, to always get revenge. They seemed like nice people, but there was that attitude that Vernon had taught his children, and particularly his son Vernon Jr. When I was in my first pastorate in Florida, I heard the news one day. It said that Vernon, I won't give you the last name, was being charged by the Clearwater police for first-degree murder. And I thought, oh, that can't be the Vernon I know in Greenville, South Carolina. So I called the Clearwater Police Department from Plant City, and they wanted me to come over. And it was the Vernon that I knew from Greenville, South Carolina, the one who taught his family always get revenge. And Vernon told me a story of how this killing occurred, that they were wrestling over a gun in the front seat of his car, and it went off and it killed the guy. Well, he was charged with first-degree murder. He was headed for the electric chair. So I got involved. And I talked to the prosecutor, and we got the charge reduced to second-degree murder. He could have gone to jail for life. I got a couple of character witnesses from Greenville to come down and testify at his trial. I testified at his trial. I had known him several years. And the jury found him not guilty. So as we walked out of the courthouse together with his two witnesses and myself, Vernon put his arm around my shoulder. He said, Ken, you kept me from being burned alive. But I think you ought to know, I killed the guy because I stole $500 from him. And he had. I helped a murderer get off by believing what I was told. Well, time went on. And I thought Vernon would die a violent death somewhere. He died of natural causes. And the family, when he died, called me from Greenville and had me come up to conduct his funeral. He was not a Christian, but I was the only clergyman they knew. And so I went up. They wanted his son, Vernon Jr., at the funeral. They said, you'll have to make the arrangements to get him there. So I had to go out. Well, I had to come back down to Columbia and make arrangements with the prison there for him to be brought under armed guard to the funeral in Greenville because he was serving life without parole for killing a sheriff's deputy in Greenville on Main Street because the deputy had given him a ticket out in the country. Always get revenge. Fathers, you have a responsibility. Men, you have a responsibility to teach only what is in this book. And we have just looked at a very good, strong example of forgiveness. We are to forgive. We are not to hold a grudge. We are to forgive. There are people who are not willing to forgive offenses, and they will live their life without forgiveness. They'll not get the forgiveness of God nor experience salvation because of that. It's the law of God. When you plant corn, you're going to get corn as a harvest. You will not get wheat. You plant what you sow. So men, it's our job as fathers and as of men to live the example that God wants us to live. There's one more verse contained in the scripture that contains our story from Jesus. It's verse 35 of Matthew 18. Here's what it says. So likewise shall the heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespass. What is this verse trying to tell us? Jesus is attempting to teach us all the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And this verse clearly teaches that if you will not forgive anyone who claims to be your brother in Christ, God will not forgive you your sins. I have to warn you, the time is coming when you are going to have to forgive some unbelievable offenses. Folks, we are coming to a time in the history of the world when the Christian will experience severe persecution. You have not had persecution yet. You may have thought it was persecution from your family, and it may have been uncomfortable. But there is a persecution coming worldwide. You see, the liberals cannot exist as long as the Christians exist. The Christians have a conservative attitude. The Christians have a conservative philosophy, because that's what we find in God's Word. Love is conservative. A lot of people do not know this. I shared it with a few this morning because I had worked on this because of this message. There have been those Christians in other parts of the world who have undergone persecution. They have been arrested for being Christian. They have been put in solitary confinement, and some of us, before this is all over, may wind up in solitary confinement. When a person is placed in solitary confinement, let me tell you what happens. They turn to God. They talk with God. But they don't have a chance to talk to anybody else. And folks, we are social animals. We proved that just before we sang our church song. I'm so glad we're social animals. But in a person in solitary confinement, the average person in solitary confinement, the average Christian in solitary confinement, after 7 or 8 months, goes insane. They break down. They go insane. When Tim gets done with this particular series of lessons, we're going to spend 4 or 5 Sundays looking at persecution and what happens under persecution. Because, folks, we have to be prepared for it. This particular individual who is going to be teaching the DVD on the DVD thought he was strong, thought he was able to keep faith. And within the first year, he even got mad at God. He had been a missionary for 25 years. Got mad at God. He got his faith back, but it took a while. So folks, we have a time coming, and it's going on in other countries. We have a time coming when we're going to have to experience persecution. That's the only way that God can bring it to a one-world government where we can have an Antichrist. There will be a time, we studied the book of Revelation, when Antichrist will rule the world. Who rules the world right now? It's not God. He's permitting it. It's the devil, the prince of the power of the air. And he's going to have his way, folks, even though we might not want it. So that's why I keep telling you, we need to become and get to know what this book says. Not just here, but here. How much scripture could you quote this morning? How much scripture could you quote? How many chapters could you go verse by verse through scripture? One? Two? Three? And if we're being honest with ourselves right now, we're going to say, no, I don't think I could do that. Folks, you won't have this at your discretion. So you better know it. Better know it here. Not just here. Some Christians in solitary confinement even become angry with God and denounce him just to get a chance for freedom. You may think that you can forgive anything. Oh, I'll forgive my enemies. Folks, you don't know what your enemies can do to you. And you may not. It may not be as easy as you think it is. But from the story we just read, it is necessary for you to maintain your relationship with God. You must be able to forgive. And that's not several years down the road, it's instantaneously. Many Christians boast about how persecution builds up the church, and it does. It did in the first century. And to a degree, that's true. But to a greater extent, persecution tears the church down because people deny their faith. And so next week, we don't have time today, next week, we're going to look at faith, and we're going to look at it in detail that you might know where you stand with God. In this story that Jesus told, there was a man who was forgiven much. He forgave nothing. Keep in mind, folks, we have two jobs. We are to share the gospel with the world. And our other job is to forgive. Those are the only two jobs that matter. So, talk to God about it. Let him build your faith. There are many ways that faith can be built. We'll deal with it next week. Answered prayer is one way that I have just recently heard someone talk about how their prayers being answered has built their faith. What if your prayers aren't answered? What if you're in solitary confinement? And there you are. So we'll look at faith next week and see how it can work for us to preserve us, to make sure that our relationship with God is what it should be. I'm going to ask if the men to go ahead and come. And Bobby, if you would grab both plates, and as you pass, we'll get Ricky to one more time do the work that Lacey's supposed to be doing. And we'll go ahead and take up a love offering for Pensacola ministry team. If you put in Wednesday night, that's fine. You're in good shape. But just in case you didn't. Father, we are so grateful to the team who came on Wednesday night and shared with us their music and the word. And we would ask that you would help us to thank them in a material way, that we might help support their ministry to churches all over the country. Bless this offering, Father, and may it be what you would have us to send to them, and we will thank you and praise you for all that you do, because we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.